Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Hi.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
Yes, and this is Anna.
And Shireen.
See, I didn't say your name this time to not confuse you.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
It was hard. So you should be thankful because I'm losing it. No, I'm just joking. Okay, well, we have a great guest today. She's part of like a sister team here at iHeart, formerly How Stuff Works. She's one of our day oneers. It's been a long time coming that she actually be on this show. She hosts many shows on the iHeart network, one including Unpopular, another one including This Day in History class, and she's part of the Afropunk team sessions. And honestly, it's Eves Jeffcoat. What else can I say other than she's a great goddamn guest? Shireen, take it.
Yeah, she's great. This is a really good I wasn't expecting that baton pass, but I really love this conversation. It's all over the place, but it's so lovely. Eves is lovely, and you're going to love her. Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hey, Shireen. I don't know.
I'm just going to go with it.
Shireen-a-tang. Hi. It's like an orangutan, but a Shireen-a-tang.
Hi. I can't. Anna doesn't work like that because you have an A at the end. And a Nang. That sounds like an insult or some type of cuss word in a different language.
Shireen-a-tang. You're an orangutan.
I have no response.
Yeah, I wish I
was clever or witty. Still, I think 2020 has made me not those things.
All I have is Anna Banana. I'm
Anna Banana.
Basique.
Yeah. Well, today is another day. Thank you for listening to this podcast, despite our really eloquent intros.
Whatever. You guys don't care, right?
At that point. Yeah. But yeah, today we have another guest episode, and I'm excited to talk to this guest. I've quote-unquote met her for the first time like 3 minutes ago, so I'm excited to get to know her.
Well, I feel like this guest is a long time coming. Like, they've been in my mind for like, well, that person needs to be on the show. That person needs to be on the show. I mean, like, they've been on a list. Yes, that's correct. You've been on our list for a while. I mean, I've always seen your name in emails for years. We've always just emailed about stuff. But then I got to know you in person this year in Orlando, which is so... We were in Orlando like March 7th traveling. Like a week later, the country shut down. Like it was really weird. Like we were at a conference. Do you know how many people were at that conference? We talked on a stage in front of hundreds of people. It really dark shit when you think about it. Like, why were we? That was not safe. But whatever. We didn't know. We truly didn't know. And that was the problem. It's like no one had any insight. We were just like, what's happening? Okay. But this guest, she is a How Stuff Works original, if you will.
Alum. Wait, no, alum means it's over. Sorry. I don't know how words are.
She's still with us. but now in iHeart also, you know. Human. She hosted Unpopular Show, This Day in History class, was part of Afropunk, basically just one of our host producers, all around cool folk at How Stuff Works Now, iHeart. We have Eves Jeffcoat with us.
Ooh. Yay. Thank you for having me. I remember the conference, but it's like I had never thought about it in the context of like the coronavirus pretty much blew up right after that, because I remember getting into Ubers and them being like, wow, isn't this so crazy? Like, I don't really want to be driving this car right
so
now.
So what y'all are saying is that COVID started at a podcast convention.
It podcast was Florida. We were in Orlando, Florida.
I mean, everybody was, we were all spitting into microphones.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the beginning of the end. Patient Zero is a podcaster.
Holly had hand sanitizer that she kept giving us, which, in retrospect, we weren't wearing masks. Like, it's like, how much can hand sanitizer do in that? Like, when people are like, everyone's just talking face to face, you know?
We were really good at rubbing our hands together, though. So,
it was pretty early on. So I think at that point, it wasn't, it was coming. but it wasn't as widespread. But I remember after I flew back from that trip, like, I don't know, maybe on the airline, I got strep throat and I was convinced I had caught COVID in Orlando. And I was going to have to, like, I was like, I have to send an email to everyone I spoke to. Like, I think I got it. And then I went to my doctor and he was like, no, this is strep throat. And I was like, it feels like knives. Okay. I know nothing. It hurts so bad. But then yes. I got antibiotics and I was fine. But it was like, there was like two
days.
I do
remember those 2 weeks where you were like, Shireen, I think I have COVID.
I was like, I got it.
And I was like, it's just calm down. You can go to the doctor.
Orlando. I was like, Orlando. Can you believe it? I went to Orlando and got COVID. But I was fine.
Yeah. But thank you so much for being on the show after this long time.
Yeah.
You're talking to us from Atlanta right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Good old Georgia.
How long have you been in Atlanta for?
I have been in the metro Atlanta area for 24 years now. Since I was about like 3 years old, I've been here.
Wow.
Yeah. So for a really long time.
Okay. Let's go to the beginning of that though. Where were you before that? When you were 1 to 3, where were you born?
Those years in which I can't remember pretty much anything except for the fact that I had a dog named Sarah and a cat named Sydney. I was in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
And most of my family is still there. Like, a lot of my extended family on both my parents' sides still live in South Carolina. And pretty much, like, all of the other Jeffcoats in existence in the United States, like beyond my family, just people with the last name, are living in South Carolina right now.
Interesting.
Jeffcoat. Do you know the origin of your last name?
I don't. My only assumption is it sounds very English to me. I'm pretty sure it's English. Uh-huh. So it has something to do with slavery, but I have no idea what the origin of that is. I'm super interested in it. And it's something I plan on researching, but I just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, it does sound pretty British. You're right.
Jeffcoat.
Yeah.
Very uppity.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you basically, for the majority of your life, grew up in Atlanta.
Yeah. When I first moved here, I was in College Park, which is, for people who don't know, like on the south side of metro Atlanta for most of my childhood, and moved to the city later on. But yeah, this is where I've been. This is where I've called home for a while now.
What brought your family to come out to Atlanta area?
I think it was just like a matter of convenience for like work and stuff like that. It's really nothing super interesting at all. When I moved here, it was the Olympics year. I believe. So I came here right around the time that was happening.
Ah, so you were an Olympian. Just drawing really broad
child
strokes.
Athlete. Okay.
I was jumping hurdles when I was 3 years old.
I mean, prodigy. Ooh. Prodigy.
I like this.
What did your parents do for work?
My dad has pretty much been teaching for a really long time. My mom works in unemployment. And yeah, like they were pretty much doing that. And I was nerding out as a child. I really loved school. Like all my life, I've really loved school. And there is a home video. Well, technically it wasn't at home. So why are they called home videos? I don't know. There is a video.
That's a really good question.
I feel like that only applies to VHS. Like if we were to take videos of our children today, you wouldn't call it a home video.
Like, anyway, no, you wouldn't.
It's called a story now. It's an Instagram story.
It's called... It's a story. It's called a reel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
It is called a reel. It is. It's a highlight.
Mama, can I see that reel of me from when I was...
You go to your mom's highlights and you find your name and that's how you see what your childhood was like.
One for each kid other than the middle kid, which got forgotten about.
Oh,
that's just a joke about my life. Sorry.
Sorry, there's no Insta highlights for you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bug brain. Everyone's like, oh.
Wow.
Anyways, okay, wait, what were we...
You had a home video of you when you were...
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of me saying that, like, somebody asked me, I can't remember what the exact question was, but somebody asked me, like, what do you love most? Or, like, what's your favorite thing? And I was like, homework. So that's pretty much, like, who I was as a child.
That's adorable.
Do you think some of that was because your dad was a teacher or was, like, education, like, important in your family or you just happened to be very into it?
I don't know. Like, I really don't know where it came from. I think sometimes squares fit in square, like, holes. I don't know.
Yeah,
like, and then I just so happened to, like, be the type of person who really loved school and also thrived in it. I also love things I'm good at. I'm very bad at liking things that I'm not good at. So,
that's good. Did you have a favorite subject as a kid? Or do you just like it all?
I would say my favorite subject was definitely writing or language arts, as they called it, you know, back in the day, I've always loved writing.
Nice.
So, okay, you're growing up, you come to Atlanta. What was growing up in Atlanta like? Did you have to live around white people? Like, what was that experience? Because I know Atlanta can also be kind of segregated based on what I've seen when I visited. So I'm curious what that whole experience was like for you.
I think by some people's accounts who grew up in Atlanta proper, like me, I grew up in Metro Atlanta, which isn't technically Atlanta, that like I was an Atlanta city kid. I was an Atlanta suburb kid. So I spent a lot of my time on the South Side, which is largely Black. Mostly elementary school, it kind of changed. It got a little bit more diverse when I got to middle and high school, I believe. But when I was in elementary school, it was mostly Black people I grew up around, and my neighborhood was mostly Black people. Like I said, I grew up in College Park in the Riverdale area, which is Clayton County, for those folks who are familiar with Atlanta. And yeah, like, I don't know if she's listening or not. I have no idea. But I did have one white friend when I was in elementary school who went to school with me, and her name was Brooke. And I will never forget one time she came. It was like, I think it was her birthday. It had to be her birthday. Because you know how in school people would come with the cake or the cupcakes for the class when it was their birthday? She came with like a cake or a cupcake. And I remember her father coming. And like, you know how some... Okay, so I always doubt this memory in my head because...
Yeah, you never know.
Things get very tricky as you get older, but I swear this is the truth. Her father came and he was like a wrestler. He was huge. Like, he was super muscly. He had blonde hair. And like, years later when I got older and like had some sort of like cultural awareness after I had been watching MTV for so...
Oh my God. I know where this is going.
I thought that she was Brooke. Like, I was like, was that Brooke Hogan? Like, I was like, her name was Brooke. Her dad was a wrestler. And now, like, I'm pretty sure this, I don't know if this memory is true or not, but because it was so long ago and that was like such a short period in my life. But
I believe it. I believe it. You went to school with Brooke Hogan and she was your best friend who was white. I'm kidding. was your only white friend. Your only white friend.
Could it have been?
And off topic, but isn't it kind of fucked up that if it's your birthday, you have to bring the things?
Well, it's your parents really bring it to like help you celebrate.
Either way, but like, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's like, if every kid, like if you had to straight up keep a schedule of everyone's birthday to be like, all right, it's Trevor's birthday, get the cupcake. Like, it's like, bring your own cupcake. It's, you know, it's on the parent. And I don't know where these like but it's like the parent basically, like how a parent throws your birthday party, you're basically like throwing a mini birthday party at your school.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So the parents, it's the parent's problem.
Yeah. It also, but it does feel nice because it's like, if you really think about how hard we worked as children, like we were still grinding then, like since being in school so many hours a day was still a mandatory thing. To like have one day that you knew you could have a treat and share it with the people that you had to do work all day with. I mean, that seems pretty nice.
Yeah,
seems
that's like... fair. Sorry, I was thinking about those cultural norms that were so accepted. But okay, so you went to school with Brooke Hogan. When you were like middle school, high school, all those questions of like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, what was your answer to that question?
Writer.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a writer. Like writing a novel has, it's like the thing that like looms above me all the time. I just like, I have wanted to be a writer since I was probably in like kindergarten or first grade.
Oh, wow.
I was trying to think about this the other day because I remembered what the story was that made me want to be a writer that I wrote when I was in kindergarten or first grade or whatever that was. But I remember the prompt that we were given to write it. And it's like, there were a bunch of strips of paper in a bucket that had different nouns on them, like princess and like tree and frog and we had to pull those words from the bucket and then write a story based on that. And then when I wrote that story, people were like, Eves, your story is so good. And I was like, oh my God, I love this. Like, what is this writing thing? And I think it probably went back before that because I've always loved reading. But
what was the prompt and or the story?
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it had princess in the title because I titled the story whatever the words were that I was given. So if it was like princess in the tree, it was like, boom, that's what I titled the story. But yeah.
Did you say how old you were when this happened?
I think I was in kindergarten or first grade.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you knew very early on. You're like, oh, this is what's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
I did.
Nice.
I didn't know shit in kindergarten.
No, me either. I was eating like rocks. I wasn't. I was eating like a bunch of like toxic shit though in retrospect. Maybe not in kindergarten. I was like a toddler. Like, you know, like Play-Doh and chapstick that's flavored. Like those lip smackers. Like I have a grudge against those lip smackers that had different flavors. Because how was I not supposed to eat them when I was like 2 years old? Like what I'm trying to say is I've consumed a lot of toxic stuff, and I think it explains a lot about me as an adult. But yeah,
it's changed your it's like changed your
my
chemicals.
Brain chemistry is just fucked.
Oh boy, yeah. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for
I hope everything works
working
out.
Through this with me.
Oh, okay. So actually, let's just take a quick break. We'll come back and keep talking. All right, we are back with Eves, Jeffcoat. And I do want to say, I Googled your last name. I wrote Jeffcoat name origins because I am your ancestors.com. And it says Jeffcoat is one of the oldest family names to come from the Anglo-Saxon tribes of Britain. And it is derived from the baptismal name for the son of Geoffrey. So you got a
crest. Do
you
have any family members named Geoffrey?
You got a racist crest.
I don't.
Yeah.
I was really on crest a while ago and just how much privilege there is in having a family crest. Yeah.
Having a crest means you've oppressed people.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, uh-oh.
And I'm like, on the other end, I don't know where my name comes from.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Good. I never knew much about like American history, like when it comes to like African Americans and like how, you know, like how basically anything with slavery worked, because one, I'm terrible at school. And then like, as I got older, I became obsessed with Iran and understanding my own culture. And of course, you know, they don't teach you anything really other than like civil rights, you know, like,
I mean, MLK was the good one.
Yeah.
Next
you know,
was the bad
like
one,
they teach you,
you
like
know?
The basics of like slavery existed. You got that. But Abe Lincoln saved them. And then, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and
basic.
Why do I still remember a cherry tree story about George Washington? Like, I want that deleted out of my brain. Like, why?
I don't even remember that one. But like, yeah. So we had Cody Ziegler on here, and he was talking about like slave families. And that was like the first time I was like, oh, yeah. Well, this all fucking makes sense. Like,
yeah,
they just name you. The first of all, you know, whatever, they have slaves and they just give you their name. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're part of that family. And right. It's like so surreal to me. Like they would just be like, and you, because you belong to this, you have our last name. And now that's your ancestry. It's like,
well, yeah, it was their way of owning people. It's
wild.
Really sick when you really think about it. Your name, when it's given to you by someone else, first of all, that's like taking away a whole nother level of your identity. But also when it's used to own you, that is just so dehumanizing in so many ways. I think it's just all part of the manipulation and just complete, I mean, obviously racism, but I think there's a very dehumanizing element to not only being stripped of your name, but given a name and then your name as a signifier of your owner is so fucking dark.
It's levels to it. I mean, there's so much stuff that you hear about and can read about for forever and to still never be able to fathom or feel in your bones truly or like really embody that thing because you didn't live it. And that's the case for me. I mean,
yeah,
naming is so important.
Yeah.
And I wish I did know more about it, but it just runs so deep. Family really separation.
Yeah.
It's also something I could never fathom. It's so important to learn about. I was at the Legacy Museum with my nieces recently, taking them through it. I'd already been to it, but they're not learning it like when they go to school.
Yeah.
They're not teaching them that there was a link between from slavery to mass incarceration that's very clearly drawn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I am grateful to have spaces that can teach them. I mean, including the people who surround them, like me and their other family members and other people they're around. But like, you know, being able to, for them to understand what it meant to, how something that seems so small as not knowing your name, like,
yeah,
or having someone's name who has been consistently abusive to you, yeah, who has harmed you in so many ways, and you having that very, very real tie to that person, just mm-hmm, how deeply that can affect somebody. So many layers to it.
Yeah, and then it's just, yeah, like generational trauma of, and then having to keep that name and like raise a family under that name, and it all just goes back to just trauma. Yeah. Like, it's just, oh my God, America's built on bullshit.
That's our slogan, didn't you know?
Yeah. America, yeah. America built on bullshit. Some built on straight bullshit, yeah, dude. It's
with
so
a sprinkle of racism and everything else in between.
Good times.
But okay.
Starting to bring it down, but facts are facts. We got to talk about them.
Let's go back to your life a little bit. So you wanted to be a writer basically your whole life. Did you go to college? Did you pursue that as you graduated? What was that like after like high school?
I did go to college for writing. I went to Savannah College of Art and Design. I was in Atlanta most of the time, and I spent a little bit of time in La Coste, and I spent a little bit of time in Savannah, but most of my time I was in Atlanta. And yeah, I pretty much never stopped writing, even though that's taken many forms. And I still haven't written that novel yet.
You got time. You got time.
I know. I'm not rushing myself or anything. You know, they really try to hammer in those success, inspiration, like later in life success stories of all the authors who like,
yeah,
I sent my manuscript in this many times and mm-hmm, was rejected this many times.
But there's that narrative in juxtaposition with the narrative that I get really a lot of anxiety about, where it's like, so-and-so accomplished this by this age. And like, she, yeah, made her first feature at 24. And it's, yeah, like, what? Like, right, what am I doing wrong? Like, where's my pilot or whatever?
That shit's then the 30 under 30 list.
Yeah, that doesn't help anything. I fucking, yeah, hate those things where it's like, you're making it seem like the younger you achieve something, the more better you are at it, or like a prodigy kind of idea. But
right,
they're not taking into account that the majority of those people probably have their own connections, yeah, or their own nepotism, types of privileges that got them to that point. Not right, everybody, obviously. But for me, reminding myself not to compare myself to anyone else's timeline or whatever, and to just remind myself why it is I got started doing X, Y, and Z. And for you, it's reminding yourself that you love to write forever, you know?
Yeah.
So that should be a consistentness, like a consistent thread, I think, to the stuff. It's just reminding, yeah, yourself that this is something that you actually like, which is tricky because I feel like the society forces us to monetize our passions, and that can make us a little bit jaded with those passions. So
yeah, I'm definitely in that place sometimes. I'm trying to balance all the things, like writing just because I love writing instead of writing for something else or for somebody else or about something I didn't necessarily want to write about, or writing in a format that I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. It's a constant struggle, but
yeah,
I can come back to it. I can come back to the love.
Yeah, it'll come back.
I think so. Everything takes time. Like, I go in and out of what I like all the time. Like, I hate podcasting for like weeks. Then I come back. I'm like, I love hearing my voice. Fuck this. I'll be like, who cares about my opinion? It doesn't matter. We all have such dumb opinions. And then I'll come back, yeah, and be like, I'm funny. You know, I'm like, I have such an emotional roller coaster with doing this job that like half the time I'm like, you never wanted this. Leave the industry. Live on a farm. And the other time it's like, no, like, I need those likes. Which is like sickening.
I wasn't expecting that.
It's like sickening, but it's true. It's like, just be real with yourself. And but I hate the emotional anguish of what it is to be like an artist and feel like you're being judged, yet you're putting your heart and soul into something, and then you're just like, oh, well, they didn't like it.
Well, because so much of the current way we share things now, sharing our work, sharing our life, there's an intrinsic element of validation that is there. You know, like, you can pretend that your social media is for you, but really it's not. Like, you know, like, really it's for an external type of recognition, validation. And when you're a creative person, when you're an artist, when you're a writer, filmmaker, whatever, in my case anyway, even a comedian does this. Like, you use social media to remind people that you exist and to, like, remind people that, like, hey, I'm here, I can do this. Especially when you see people getting jobs off of social media, whether it's Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
For me, this year put into perspective, like, why do I do certain things? I think poetry is my one thing that I don't really make a lot of money off of, but I'll do it because it's like therapy for me. Like, I'll write it and I'll read poetry because it makes me feel good. And I was reminded of that this year when I just, like, finally wrote a poem for the first time in a long time in, like, March. And I was like, you know what? This feels good. It's okay that I'm not making money off of this right now. Yeah. Like, I should do it because it feels good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those reminders, I think, are good. But
yeah.
So you studied creative writing?
Yeah, I did. I'm really glad that you found that, too. Like, I'm glad that you found poetry. And, like, that's a thing that you could go to right now. Because yeah. I know it's so hard, like, for everybody. And everybody's dealing with their own struggles in their own ways, not even or even taking into account everything we were going through before a pandemic happened and before we found our lives in such different situations because of all of the many ways it's affected us economically and mentally and physically. And it's a lot. So I'm really glad that you found.
Thank you. That means a lot. Yeah. I mean, listeners know that, like, I've been writing poetry since I was, like, a preteen. And I think there are certain jobs that you have in mind when you're, before you become aware of the world. Like, for me, it was poet, photographer, filmmaker, like, all these things that even astronaut was in there. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be that. So, and then you get a little bit older.
Cool job.
Yeah, exactly. Then you get a little bit older and I'm like, okay, I failed AP chemistry, can't be an astronaut.
Yeah.
No one's really, like, a poet nowadays. Like, I can't, can I make money off of that? Maybe I should give that up too. So, like, you get older and more jaded and, again, trying to monetize yourself. So, yeah, it's nice to remind your adult self and also your child self, like, this gave me happiness then. It was the adult world that made me feel like it wasn't enough.
Yes.
I don't know. I've been having a very introspective time. And and you're right, like, I was depressed before this year. Yeah. I just am more depressed now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's so hard to manage. Like, even when I do a thing, even when I do a thing for myself, it still, like, sometimes will end up turning into a thing. Okay, I did this for myself and it feels really great. It feels great to share it with people, regardless of what response happens, because I think there's sometimes when I'm sure other people go through this as well, but have an expectation around what the response to something you create artistically is.
Yeah.
And that can be a thing that matters to you even when you're putting it out for yourself. Anyway,
100%.
Yeah. Anyway, like, even if the thing is just for yourself, if you're expecting a response, like, it can still morph into that third category of, like, well, now that it's out, like, how can I monetize it?
100%. I would 100% agree and relate. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we found the way to do it in a way with podcasting.
True.
I mean, me and Anna are genuinely just recording our conversations with each other. And we have a podcast.
It's not somehow. I mean, there's totally meaning behind it. Like, people like,
oh, no, listening. I'm kidding. No, I was just like, when I really, in the beginning, I really did think, like, we're just kind of talking to each other and recording it. Like, this is... Podcasts are just scheduled conversations.
But the hustle behind that was real in the sense that I had to scam my way to the top of iHeart in order to be like, and I could not have done it without a podcast where I just say whatever I want. And they're like, okay, give it to her.
You need more women of color. And they're like,
it is true. I just held them all like emotion. Like, I was like an emotional terrorist all over the office until someone let me do what I wanted. And then everyone made me feel like I was such a piece of shit for so long. For being so annoying. Oh, I would literally, the looks I would get shown up, like, why is there only one brown person in that promo video? And they'd be like, Nobody asked you, Anna. And then I'd be like, okay. I've been told to behave. You don't know the shit they've said to me, dude. They have told me to stay in line so many times by like people that I respect have been like, okay, maybe it's time you not say something like that. And I'd be like, wait till you hear my podcast when I come for you. Shit's crazy. Corporate America's crazy. That's all I'm saying. But then you know what? You know what you do? You're like, fuck it. Send over the paycheck.
Capitalism is a scam.
What are you going to do?
Know, like, it's a fucking trap.
That got
it's
dark
scam.
Really quickly.
I mean, it's just facts. It's like, I sit here and I'm like, can you believe they won't listen to me? And then I'm like, where's my money? It's just, I'm aware that I sold out like that and then still try to have like a say. But then like deep down, I'm like, girl, you sold out so quickly. They were like, you need to do it this way. And I was
I wouldn't think of it as selling out. And you have to fucking
what's
live
the
in
dollar
LA?
Sign on that? Okay.
Right. Like you have to survive. You have to put food on the table. And you also can't blame yourself for being hopeful. Like, can we not lose that? I mean, I get it. You're right. But
it's just tough. It's tough when you want to accomplish something, yet you just also know the situation you're in. It's like, there's only so much I can do, which is like, you know, Eves and I are on like the diversity initiative, and it's like, you there's so much you want to accomplish, but you know, there's also like, you have to take it like very minimal step by step because you genuinely don't want to scare the shit out of a corporation. We're like, whoa, come on, guys, chill out.
Come on, guys, we're nice here.
But like, you're not seeing a lot of things. So you just have to like step by step. And, you know, I saw it pretty quickly because I had never worked a full-time job. Like, I worked at How Stuff Works. Like, I just freelanced everywhere. Like, that's how I did my work. And so, you know, I could be vocal because it's not like I was, you know, my salary didn't depend on it. I could be like, that was shady. You guys shouldn't do that. That was racist. Or like, come on, guys. This is all white people. Like, why am I in a room with all white people? I'm like the Beyonce. I'm like, why are all these white people here? I won't work with you. I'm just joking. That's just something that happened with her at like Reebok or something. But anyway, or was it Fila? I don't know. One of those places. But then I started working like How Stuff Works. And then it just became very clear like, oh, you literally can't be like running your mouth and being like, too many white people. Because
your salary depends on it. Your health insurance depends on it. Like,
be like, dude, ways
Anna,
to do
known,
it.
Like, people have said racist. I mean, I'm still a freelancer for the most part, but for a long time, I was depending on working in production as far as my health insurance goes and whatever. And, you know, like, there are a lot of racist things that were told directly to my face. And I didn't really do anything about it because I was like, this person gives me, I can't pay my rent without this job. You know, like, I need to just be good.
I mostly learned after like the first year, you have to actually, like, you have to have strategy because, you know what, the label of like, loud woman of color being annoying is so quickly placed on you of being like, all she does is complain about everything. And it's like, well, it's not complaining. It's just like pointing out that there's clear injustices happening and everyone's ignoring it. And just like, well, what
Eves,
are you gonna do?
How did you, I want to know how you found podcasting. So you're in college studying writing. Tell us about the steps after that.
I started on the editorial side at How Stuff Works. And podcasts were there as well. Back then, when I joined How Stuff Works, they were doing podcasts, but there definitely wasn't a focus on it then. And I just kind of slid into the podcast side because it was still writing. Like, it was still writing. I still got to do what I loved. It was just in a different medium.
Yeah.
And I have thought about this in hindsight, looking back at it, I was like, I don't think I would. Podcasting is something that I don't think I would have ever peg myself as doing, just because I do not like talking.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have always been throughout my life a person who like only wants to speak when I feel like I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely will like step to the side for other people to speak until that moment is like right for me to speak. So I was, of course, like always raising my hand in the classroom, like when it was time for me to answer my question. But like, if I got to a McDonald's and like had to make an order for myself, I didn't want to fucking do it. Like, I didn't want to. I did not want to go up to that cashier and ask them for some fries. Like, it was not me. So it definitely was a thing that I didn't think I would be behind the mic doing. Like, I'm a writer. That's who I am. That's what I do. But it ended up that way. And it still did merge two things that I really loved, which is sound, because I love music, and then also writing. So it made sense. And I think like too, writing is so much sound. Like to me, it's writing is so much about having an ear, and sound is so integral when it comes to writing. So
yeah,
that's how that happened. And then I started writing and hosting, and it kept doing it.
Yeah. Well, how did you find your first hosting gig? Like, how did that first hosting gig come about, knowing like your history with like not wanting to be that talkative?
I saw that what other people were doing, because we were in the same space at How Stuff Works. So I never saw myself as using writing in a podcasting way before I got to How Stuff Works. I also didn't know like anything about podcasting at that point. Definitely didn't know it from a consumer perspective, and also didn't know it from a behind the scenes perspective. But my only interface with podcasting or a podcast was, and I didn't even remember this until like years after I started working on them, the like pretty much one and only podcast I had ever listened to before I started podcasting was Pottercast, because I was really into Harry Potter. Like, but yeah. I wasn't listening to it because it was a podcast. I didn't know it was a podcast. Like sometimes I was listening on their website, and sometimes I was listening on my mom's classic iPod, like when I would go on trips and stuff like that, literally a blue classic iPod, like waiting for the next episode to come out, waiting on all of the inside jokes, like being super into it in that way, because I was a huge Harry Potter nerd. And that was my first interface with it. But yeah, just started kind of inserting myself in other people's business, essentially.
Yeah, I do recall you were doing research at one point.
Oh, yeah, I was. I'm trying to figure out if I started doing research before I hosted that episode or not. But I was doing research for other podcasts that were on the iHeart Network. Was that before iHeart? I don't know. But I was doing research for other podcasts. And so I was doing things like putting together documents for people that included research for topics that they would send by. I was creating calendars with information that was pertinent to people's podcasts. And so, yeah, I was kind of a person that different podcasts went to gather research for them. That was pretty short lived.
Yeah, I remember you were very quickly soon after that hosting stuff. But I also remember you did a lot of the more like technical stuff behind the scenes as well. Because I actually just had a memory of panic calling you once asking for help because I like up, you know, ETB, we were talking about this before we started recording. We had this very antiquated system that we were using before the one we're on now. But I remember like posting a show on the wrong RSS feed because it was just that simple. If you accidentally in the slider click a different show without realizing easy. And you publish your show on the wrong feed, which is like to me like what? And I remember calling
it
you like
on ever happen. Like that shouldn't be a thing that anybody who's using the system could do.
Yeah. Like you should accidentally
it wasn't your fault.
Access a different RSS feed without realizing it. I remember calling you like a Saturday morning being like, hi, Eves. Hi, yeah, Anna, LA office. I don't know what I've done. Like it's very early on being like, what is going on?
It's funny you remember that because I don't. So I guess like you felt really bad. I think you felt way worse about it than actually. I was just like,
well,
it's cool.
The LA office was so new and I was the only person uploading. Like I was the only person. I was flown out to Atlanta to train and they didn't teach anyone else. And I was like, I don't know what this shit's complicated. I don't know how to retrain someone else. So it was like, I remember Noel literally being like, okay, so this, you got it? And I was like, no, fool, no one uses this. This is crazy. Like this podcast was on a different network before it got pulled over to House Stuff at the time. And they used like ART 19. It was like you just clicked upload, insert ad times,
simple.
Send, publish. So to me, like I was so out of my depth. And also I'm not like someone who understands code very well. Like I understand the very, very basics. So the terminal thing was just, I didn't know what we were doing. So like, I remember someone calling me being like, probably Jack or Nick, I don't know, Miles being like, hey, so this is on the wrong feed. And me being like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then, like, maybe emailing Tamika and Tamika being like, yeah, just call you. And then me being like, okay. Like, literally thinking, like, that's it. My career's over. They'll never let me upload again. Like, and then you being like, just switch the thing. And me being like, oh, my God, it's that? What It's so and easy.
That shouldn't have been that easy either. Yeah. Just switching it back should not have been that easy.
Yeah, like one, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. But then the fix being so, it was just such a system. It was so complicated.
Yeah. Like, it was like, this is what we have already that we're using. So we're just going to make it work.
Yeah. Let's take one last break. Okay, everybody. We'll be right back. And we're back. Eves, I imagine that you grew up with people mispronouncing your first name.
Yes, on accident and on purpose. So I can
on purpose?
What? Oh, yeah. Well, in a friendly way, in some ways. Like, people that I knew had their nicknames for me that were, like, Yvis, Yvis. But that was, like, in a cutesy, endearing way. Uh-huh. I would get those things. Okay. So it was never, like, a malicious... I'm going to get you by mispronouncing your name. That never happened. At least not as far as I can remember. But I have gotten, I mean, and of course the things you kind of expect. So Eve, without the pronunciation of the S. I had a friend in school who, I had a teacher who would never pronounce the S on my name. She would always say Eve, Eve, Eve. And I was in her class for a whole year. This was like seventh grade. And my friend would... on my papers, my written papers that I would turn in, she would underline the S. So a very subtle act of aggression.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
because my teacher, I appreciated it because I didn't really care.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to it. It's like, I know some people care a lot about their names and how they're spoken. And of course, I have nothing against that. I think that's totally fine. But I just kind of been, I get it so much that I'm just used to it. So yeah, that was one of them. And then another weird one was Jeff. I've gotten at least... four Jeffs over the course
of your
my
last
life.
Name?
Yeah, people would just shorten my, I guess they would skip past my first name and also cut off the second half of my last name and
so
call me Jeff.
They just think
and
your name is Jeff Coat. Your last name is Coat, first name Jeff.
Yes. And then Eves is, I don't know where that went. But
Eves is a silent first name. The whole thing is silent.
Actually, I like that. Wow. I guess you could, like, Jeff if Coe? You could name a child Eves, but just say it silent. Could you do that?
The whole name is silent?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Just, I mean, if Grimes can name her kid a fucking equation, I'm sure we can name the kid a silent word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's that name? I've never met an Eves with your spelling, to be honest. And I did ask Anna before we recorded how to pronounce your name, just in case.
And I was like, Jeff.
You were like, Jeff Coat.
Wait, you're the one who started it all.
Yeah, apparently. Clearly.
But do you know where that name, like, why your parents chose that name?
Yeah, it was my dad. He chose it because of Yves Saint Laurent.
Oh.
He has no direct tie or that much of a care about Yves Saint Laurent, as far as I know. And also, it's not pronounced the same. So
I was just going to say, you either blew my mind about that pronunciation or I'm an idiot. Like,
no, it's neither of those. Yeah. That pronunciation is...
Yves, right? There's an Eve.
It's without the S, but my S is pronounced.
Eve. Word. Sorry, Eve I was Saint just thinking Laurent. About yeah, that really right. hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and so
Saint Laurent.
I've been asked if I'm from the islands because my name is French and I'm not. So that's
interesting.
Weird.
Interesting. Interesting.
I have the same thing where I have like zero connection to my name because technically I was born Anna, but you can literally call me anything. And I'm like,
Yeah, same. I don't really care if people mispronounce my name at this point. I've gotten, honestly, this is so annoying to admit, but people look at my name at the doctor's office, at any type of place where I have like have to be called. And I get Sharon maybe 80% of the time. And I don't understand how people can land on Sharon after reading my name. But
yeah,
that's what it is.
I mean, two E's, that's pretty standard across. I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions about how people pronounce English because that feels like I want to allow for the breadth of, you know, dialect.
I will say it's mostly white people that call me Sharon, though.
Okay. Well, they know. They fucking
They fucking
two
know
E's
better.
Is E, okay.
Yeah, they know better. There's no A, there's no O, it's fucking E.
Yeah.
But even my name, it's pronounced differently in Arabic. It's pronounced different, like, you know what I mean? It's just, people call me Shireen, because it's just like an Americanized version of my name. But like, I'm okay with being called anything, really. I used to hate my name growing up. It's a very like common Persian girl name, and I just hated the idea of being common. And but growing up, I've learned to accept it. I also, there was like a hot second, and I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but I really wanted like a gender neutral name, and there was a hot second in high school that I really was trying to go by Shane for a really long time, and it did not land or click.
So nobody called you that when you asked like, them to?
My friends tried, and I told like one teacher that I liked, but it didn't really latch on. And my parents thought it was hilarious and stupid. And I was like, fine, whatever.
Did that hurt though?
I really wanted it to work. Yeah. Because I was like, I'm about to go to college and I could just like reinvent myself there and I'll be Shane. It didn't work though.
You should have tried harder, man. I could see that. Shane.
No, it's too late. I'm Shireen. And now how I've come around to it is like, I really love my mom and dad. My mom is the one that gave me this name and I love my mom. And so it makes me proud to use that name now to like, to use it. And that's I also like to defy people's expectations when they meet me and I'm not Persian. So yeah.
Yeah, that the whole gender neutral thing, I think, was an unexpected benefit for me because
your name when is people Jeff. See, well, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Partially, no, because Eve is typically perceived as what people would expect to be a guy's name, and I feel like I'm kind of getting away with pulling the wool over people's eyes,
especially on paper.
Yeah, like when I'm emailing, they don't know I'm a Black.
Well, especially because sometimes
you think about all the things I can get away with. Yeah.
But especially because your last name maybe comes before your first name sometimes in an email. Like that happens when we were emailing, your last name came up first. Oh, really? It was like Jeffco, Eves.
Yeah.
Well, that's iHeart style.
But like, I mean, like that's you could have fooled me. You know what I mean? Like if I didn't know any better, I'm talking to Jeffco.
Right.
Jeffco Eves.
Yeah.
I see that. Eves. I like the name Eves. The more I've gotten to know you, I mean, and your name, because I'd never heard that name, and I honestly didn't even realize, I didn't even make the connection of Yves Saint Laurent. Like,
Me either, until right now.
I was just like, oh yeah, I guess that is that word. But I think the name Eves is very pretty. There's Me something too. About it. There's a ring to it. It's almost, I can't explain it. Like, it reminds me of like, tinsel in a way. Is that weird? I don't know what I'm like literally like free associating right now, but it's a very nice name. I like it.
Thank you. I do like it too. It's very beautiful in my opinion.
Yes, maybe the word I was looking for is beautiful. What am I talking about? Tinsel.
It's shiny, isn't it? Tinsel is shiny.
Yeah, it is. There's something about it. Maybe it, you know what, I see green when I see it, but then I also just might be thinking of like Atlanta and like woods. And like Georgia being green.
Do you have synesthesia? Like where you connect?
Oh, yeah. I always do that. Yeah.
Colors.
I don't know why. I just do that. I guess I have synesthesia. That's why I do it.
You write poetry too?
No, I just am a daydreamer, I think.
Oh.
I'm very interested. You know, that's actually what you were saying is like you're not someone who likes to talk to people. Like I hate talking to people in person. I am such a like, when I podcast because I can do this without, like, I can hide behind a mic. I don't have to look anyone in the eye. Technically, I'm looking at you guys, but I'm mostly looking at myself. Let's be real. But talking to Shireen's easy because I know Shireen. I have a podcast with someone I went to college with. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world talking to Shireen.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's like second nature. I can talk to you about anything. Like, I don't want to talk to someone in person necessarily, though. Like, yeah. When I have to talk in our staff meetings, I'm like, fucking kill me. Like, it's my nightmare having to describe a podcast we're working on, you know?
Oh, God, I know.
Like, I just don't want to do it. I also don't want to go order fries. I don't want to talk to anyone. If someone says hello to me on the street, I'm like, oh, you know, like, I am, like, so freaked out by everyone because I'm actually, like, very deeply introverted. And I think a part of that, like, synesthesia is that I'm just, like, in my head, like, thinking and enjoying, like, living my own life. And I just don't want to have to, like, exit my safe space and be like, hi. Where can I find lettuce in this grocery store? You know, like, I don't want to, like, interact
That's interesting.
With anyone.
Yeah. I'm, I'm very comfortable talking to strangers. I don't like go out of my way to do it, but like I remember out of like my two sisters or my I have two sisters, but I remember even like in my family, if anyone like is too chicken to do something, I would do it. Like I think whenever I take those like personality tests, I'm always, what am I? An ENFP. I'm an ENFP. But my E is always ecstasy. Right on the border. It's leaning towards E, but the I is not far behind, kind of thing. So yeah, I think that just means, for me, I just think of it as like an antisocial extrovert. but yeah.
I can't even bring myself to take a quiz like that for fear I might have to interact with someone about it.
Wait, who would you have to interact with?
I don't know. Support? I don't know.
That's what I was saying. I can't think of anybody else but support.
Every time I have to call support, oh my God, give me a break. Not interested. Yeah. I'll suffer.
I mean, who likes those? I don't like calling support. Forever. Like, come on. Who likes talking to like customer service?
Yeah. And I think I don't know if I can say most, but a lot of them don't want to be speaking with us too.
Yeah. Word.
Yeah.
We've had the most random conversation with you. This has been such a weird episode,
but I liked
it.
People
are going to love
fun.
The ETB part.
Yeah, people they're going to really relate to that hard. Even I was like, okay, yeah, word, ETB. Don't know what that is.
We've had so many stresses that we just can't help it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm glad that you guys can commiserate, you know? But
ETB.
But yeah, we're nearing the end of the show, and it bones me out because you're going to have to come back and actually, like, I don't know.
Hang.
Talk if you want to, only if you want to. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about your
Are
show.
You getting
though,
insecure
about the podcast. You're like, maybe.
You're like, insecure. Like, I no pressure. Like, whatever. You know what? Actually, fuck you. Just like, what?
You don't have to come.
No, yeah. Because she said she doesn't like talking.
No,
I was trying to make a reference to that.
Let me just clarify. I don't even know what the word for it is, but let me just say that. It's really hard for me to have conversation in large crowds and like on stages. That anxiety really gets to me. But in conversations like this, when they're a lot more intimate, one-on-one, then I can handle it and I really like it.
Yeah.
But it's just something about the anxiety of strangers in a populated place
that's
really difficult for me.
like a potentially COVID infested Orlando. That was miserable for me because I was like, why did I fly out here?
Yeah.
But then you got strep and you were like, all my concerns are validated.
Orlando, yeah. Man.
But okay, before we actually go, can you tell us about the podcast that you host or co-host rather and like what it's all about?
Yeah. So this day in history class, I was the host of that. And you can still hear those episodes. They're running, which you'll also probably hear Tracy V. Wilson on that because they're running together with the episodes that I did. But in that show, I pretty much went through a day exactly what I did. It was every single day an episode was released and it was usually less than 10 minutes. And I talk about many various things in history. So it can be on science, art, technology. It can be on social issues, social movements. It can be on like things like strikes. People's birthdays often come up. And it's just basically a little tidbit of whatever happened on that day to provide some sort of context to the day that we're currently living in. Which also, now that I think about it, is like, it's hard to remember even what day it is kind of right now. Like, is it a Tuesday? Is it a Wednesday?
Right.
It's a Friday. So, but yeah. Friday the 13th, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Our mutual friend, Lloyd, who's been on this podcast before, his birthday was on Friday the 13th in March of this year.
Which is when the pandemic started.
Yeah. So we have a theory, a working theory. He has a theory that I'm just latching on to, I should say, that Friday the 13th isn't cursed at all. It's that moment between the Friday the 13th. Like, we had to wait for another 13th to come to maybe get a little bit of relief, you know? Mm. So the gap between the Fridays, that's what you should worry about. And it's been a long fucking gap, you know? Like, it's been a long gap.
Okay. Don't get me started on numbers because we'll be here another hour. But yeah, I think there's definitely something in the numbers. A couple of days ago was 11/11/2020 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to start on numbers. Let me not even.
I want to know. Wait.
I was just going to say like my numbers, my life path number is a 4. This year is a 4, a number 4 year. Like it's 2020.
Yeah.
So alignment in the 4s for me is a big thing. I'm going to stop there, though, because if I go any farther, I'm just going to... It's not even... It doesn't make any sense, honestly, if you think about it. It's just like numbers always align.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
At the same time, it's a thing for me.
Yeah. I am someone that really likes signs, quote unquote. Like, I guess I'm a little bit superstitious about certain things. So I relate to your number thing because I always add up. Like, I know my name is 746, for example. And that's like... Yeah. Just then, how many letters are in my name? Mm-hmm. My sister, she's a 5. My little sister's a 4. If she's raising her nickname, like all these, I pay attention to numbers a lot. So I appreciate someone else that's also like into that.
Yeah.
And also certain numbers I like more than others, which is such a weird thing to say. But like when I'm like driving in my car and their volume is on a certain number dial, I change it to one I like better, even if it's louder or softer. Just because it gives me a better feeling, and that makes me sound a little bit kooky, but I'm kooky.
Yeah.
Own yeah. It. This has been a riveting conversation. You are a delight. Please come back.
I would love to.
Yay.
I just, for the first time, counted how many numbers are in my last name, and I'm kind of shook that that's never come up in my life before.
I mean, I'm just a weirdo, though. Like, I there's no reason why you should know how many letters are in your name, other than just, like, thinking there's a reason behind it, like I do. Wait, how many are there? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And I have a long last name I've never thought to count. You guys have just fucked me up probably for the rest of the day, just so you know. It'll be in my
welcome.
Head. Thanks a lot,
now
guys.
Now you have a hole to fall into this weekend.
You're 48. You're 48.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. And then I was like, do I like the number 48? And then I was like, and then you started talking about audio dial things. And I remember my boyfriend's always like, put it on 48. That's the perfect sound. And then I'm like, oh my God.
Ooh.
So now I'm fucked
also,
up. Thanks a lot,
48,
you guys.
48 is 12. 12 is 3. So does 3 mean anything to you? That's how I think of it.
I want 3 kids. I don't know why. I just decided that one day. I was like, I'll have 3 kids. And then I'm like, you're probably never going to have kids. And I'm like, no, that's
well,
what
you do
I
have
want.
3 pets.
I have 3 kids already. So I want 6 kids. 3 animal, 3 human.
Got to balance it out.
So all right. Eves, where can people find you before I escalate?
You can find me at Eves Jeffcoat. So Eves is my first name. If it wasn't clear that my first name is not Jeff, Eves, last name Jeffcoat, spelled J-E-F-F-C-O-A-T. You can find me on Twitter at Eves Jeffcoat, on Instagram at Not Apologizing, and all of the shows. So Unpopular, you can look at Unpopular. It's about people in history and the things that they had to do to overcome situations and how they were often persecuted for it. And on This Day in History Class and on Afropunk Solution Sessions and various other podcasts that I am not on but am producing.
Woo!
Yes. Eves is our
check out
our
Eves.
Powerhouse She's, producers.
Yeah. Doing really cool work. And until the next time you're back, listen to some of her pods. I do love a good, short, digestible pod. You know what I mean? Like, I love, like, just, like... Because for me, I don't listen to podcasts, but if there was like knowing there's one that's like 10 minutes a day, I'm just like, you know what? Maybe like I can do that. Like I can wake up in the morning, listen 10 minutes and then get out of bed or drive for 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, I need to shut up now. This is Ethnically Ambiguous you're listening to, and it's Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. This is Shireen. I'm Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
The Devil Lives on Friday the 13th.
Ooh, yeah.
And I'm just at Anna Hostney on Twitter.
That's 48 for you right there.
48. And at Anna Hostney on Twitter.
And it's going to change your handle to just 48.
I'm the 48th president.
Wait, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
That's probably what people would interpret that as.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm 48 too, now that I think about it. 48, yeah.
Oh my God, you're right, yeah. Oh my
Not
God, you guys are connected.
Yeah.
I'm connected.
I knew I liked you.
And it's hyperventilating.
I knew I liked you! I know, I'm about to like, my head's about to implode because this is too much information for me to handle.
Well, like, for me, like, you know those gas stations or whatever, those convenience stores, 76? I've always looked at that being like, that's me, because my name is 76, my first and last name. Ooh. I'm a weirdo.
That's kind of spooky, though. Like, are they speaking to me directly?
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
How do you think about the 76ers, the basketball team?
Oh, I forgot about that.
You know, you're connected to that because Jack O'Brien, our technical boss in the LA division, his father is an assistant coach for the 76ers basketball team.
One degree of separation. Yeah, 1 degree of separation.
It's all connected.
So surreal. And I actually, that makes me think my dad, I always am connected to 7-Eleven because every time we drive by 7-Elevens, my dad goes 7-Eleven because his birthday is July 11th.
And you know what 7-Eleven is?
What?
No, never mind. That's 9. I was going to say it's 10. I can't add. And I was going to say it's 3. Never
mind. And you know what 9-11 is? And I'm just...
I mean, there's a reason. What if 9-11?
It's what our people committed. Oh my All God. Right, that's it for tonight.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah. 9-11 was an inside job.
No. We're going to end the podcast like that.
Yeah, I'm just spreading conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Old conspiracy. That's an old conspiracy theory. Isn't that wild? 9-11 being that an
is,
inside job.
It is wild.
Oh, that's 20 years. 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, that's dated to say that.
Like, that's crazy. Or but, wild. I don't want to say crazy.
It's Anyways, still a hot take somehow.
I know. Yeah. It's just... But to think like George Bush could have committed something like that, like that guy, that is right. Okay.
Nice yeah,
story. Right.
I guess he it would have
pulled me.
God, actually, now that I think about it, yeah, it would have been Cheney. It is an inside job, dude. Cheney was smart. Okay, let's
figure have
it out.
Have you seen Vice? Yeah, I'm just kidding.
We should end the show before this escalates any further.
Yeah. Bye, guys and gals and everything in between. Listen to Eve's podcasts, all of them. I'm going to go crawl into a hole now and stay there for the rest of my life. Bye.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.